Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. And it's a pleasure that we get the chance to have special guests for this two pieces. And I'm glad you joined us for the first hour, folks. So those of you just joining us, welcome to our show. Marnie Hockenberg now from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul in Minnesota. Welcome to the line, Marnie. How are you today?
Good morning, Zara. I'm doing really well. How about you?
We're doing terrific. We've got the sunshine and some of the cooler temperatures, but I'm sure nothing like what you folks have in Minnesota. So brave that storms, right?
We actually today have sunshine and it's 13 degrees above zero. So we're pretty happy about that.
Well, there you go. Let me introduce Marnie. She's a principal of Harkenberg Search, a retained executive search firm based there in Minneapolis, St. Paul. She specializes specifically in placements in manufacturing and human resources. With more than two decades of recruiting and business consulting experience, Marnie has a proven track record of providing focused, personalized search services to businesses to help them find, recruit, and here the important one is, retain senior talented leadership. Prior, Marnie was co-founder of the Hiring Experts executive search firm and worked also as a senior search consultant for a large staffing firm. She's frequently now sought out as a speaker and expert commentator on hiring and employment-related issues, has appeared on Fox 9 News and been quoted in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the St. Paul Business Journal, Monster.com, Upsize Magazine, and CollegeRecruiter.com, just to name a few. She serves on the board of the Minneapolis Chapter of Human Resource Professionals, the Minnesota Recruiting and Staffing Association, and American Israel Chamber of Commerce. So again, welcome to the show. And how's business these days? I mean, you folks usually are on the front line of watching where the economy goes since you're in the talent sector.
Well, thank you for having me today, Zara. Yes, things are on the uptick. We're having a much better year this year than last year. There is more hiring activity, and we're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I like that. Well, Marnie, there's countless firms out there that are in this business of staffing and specific retained search and the like. But your work and how you've come to shape your business, you really want to focus in a very personal, focused area. Tell our audience about that niche, really, that you're developing and very successfully guiding through.
Great. Well, you know, I made the decision, Zara, to be a solo practitioner so that I could provide personal service to my clients. Generally, by the time they enlist the service of a search firm, their need is critical. They may have already tried to find a good candidate on their own, unsuccessfully, had a recent departure that was unexpected, and I decided to limit my engagements to no more than three searches at a time so that I could provide personal service and my customers could be top of mind and at the top of my priority list.
And, you know, I suspect that kind of an approach versus maybe us professionals and specifically women who claim that we can multitask a lot, that actually being very focused on the two or three or four gives you the chance to really bring home the closure of the assignment as well, but probably get more repeat business that way.
Exactly, because once I learn about my client, I go in and meet the people involved, generally the executive leadership team, and form those relationships. I become an extension of their business and of their sometimes human resources department. I get to know them and in particular their culture and the kind of person that will fit in with their company. And then when I go out and source my candidates, I know when I have a good match because I have worked with that company before, and then they come to rely on me time and again to fill their critical positions.
And, you know, that's really the mantra for any of us that are in business, whether we're solo practitioners or not, is sometimes there's always the hunt for new business, and maybe right in front of us is repeat business by paying attention to those specific customers. For those of you who just tuned in, Marnie Hockenberg from Hockenberg Search, it's H-O-C-K-E-N-B-E-R-G search.com. I wanted to alert everyone that out on her website are some tremendous resources. I can tell you're having fun blogging, Marnie, and particularly two that caught my attention that maybe we can spend some time on. The first one was, are you making any of these hiring mistakes? And you kind of have your top 10 things you've encountered. And then the second was, is do I or don't I engage a search professional to get this position filled? So maybe touching on those hiring mistakes, the things you've seen as to why searches fail.
Sure. Well, the first reason why searches might fail would be just an attitude about the search fee from a company. A company needs to ask themselves, do you view the hiring process as an investment or as an expense? In other words, do you view the services that a search professional provides as an investment in your company's future by sourcing, attracting, and ultimately helping you hire the best candidate and the right candidate on the market?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's right. And in fact, the word investment comes to mind, particularly if you want to do it right the first time and not caught in the do-looping. The second one.
Great. And the second one would be delays in feedback about the candidates. I do a lot of networking in the candidate community, and I will have to tell you that the number one frustration they have is when they are involved in a hiring process, they either don't hear back from the company, even after they've interviewed with them multiple times, or even if they are a prime candidate, they're not in touch with the hiring manager or the internal recruiter to find out about their status. And when top candidates don't hear back from the company within a reasonable amount of time, they begin to lose interest and they start pursuing other opportunities, in particular the top A-list, you know, top 2%, and those are the kinds of candidates companies want to hire, but they risk losing them if they don't keep in close contact with them.
Well, and I think the other piece we're saying is that the idea of getting and retaining good talent is really a 24/7 opportunity, particularly now with speed being enabled by so much technology, but it can also trip us up without the personal touch in the mix.
Exactly. You know, and that's where the services of a good search professional such as myself come into play. I do engage the candidates from the minute I talk with them on the phone about the opportunity all the way through, not just until they accept an offer, but until they come on board and even after that. The candidates need that personal touch. I become an extension of their, kind of like an advisor to them, and helping them sort out the right opportunity from the wrong opportunity. And if it is the right opportunity, I spend a lot of time with them understanding their motivation. Why is this the right opportunity? What are they really looking for? Is it a growth opportunity? What is it that they want to be involved in? That takes a lot of time. And I become their trusted advisor all the way through the process so that we increase the likelihood of them accepting an offer.
Right. You know, from the candidate standpoint right now, and those of our listeners specifically, of course, that are in the midst of a career transition, one of the things I know people struggle with is information falling into the black hole, that there's weak links in this chain. You know, why don't I hear back? And of course, we also know that the game has changed significantly. So some of those polite connections and return letters and phone calls don't necessarily come at the time that we've been used to historically. So a role such as you serve, really you are trying to keep the links linked, right?
That's my job. That's one of the reasons that companies enlist me. They have their business to attend to. They're very stressed out. There's so much going on. It's very competitive. And when I'm involved in a search, they don't have to worry about it. I am making sure and ensuring that the candidates are moving through the process for the right reasons and that we don't lose their top candidate.
Well, I think the other one is of course, in our conversation here, this blog that you wrote, it's to rely upon actually a book called The Manager's Guide to Maximizing Search Firm Success. But this whole idea of the search posse syndrome and also too many cooks in the kitchen. That also things get, you know, people for the best of intention, though, have unintended consequences of knocking into one another.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons that I went from a contingent to a retained search model, Zara.
And we might want to explain those two words to our listeners,
sure.
Contingency versus retained.
Right. A contingency model is when a company enlists a search one or two or even three search firms, and they it's a different payment model. Mm-hmm. I guess you might call it a different business model. And when a candidate offer is accepted, then the hiring company pays the search fee to the recruiter. And in a retained model, a portion of the fee is paid to the recruiter up front, which
right.
solidifies the relationship so that we're going steady, you might say. And it's an exclusive relationship between the client and the recruiter, which maximizes success and creates a win-win for everybody because the recruiter is has a promise to deliver the candidate that the company will hire no matter what.
And so what we might want to do again for our listeners today, those of you who have been approached by or connect with search professionals, that really should be one of the first questions you might ask is to subtly or even directly, depending on where you sit on the fence, to understand what type of search professional you're dealing with, correct?
That's right, because it might make a difference in the type of interactions that you have with a recruiter.
Yeah, for example, you're saying that whether or not the recruiter is fully engaged to represent the opportunity completely and knows the ins and outs, or like we've said about your business, you've sat side by side with many of your clients on other searches, so you really can speak to, as I often say, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, to be transparent,
mm-hmm.
versus someone that is just a resume mover, I'll call it.
Exactly. And that's where companies, become frustrated with recruiters because they're giving search assignments to multiple search firms. And then the search firms start bumping into each other, the candidates get confused, and then after a while, the search firms might even lose interest in that particular search if it becomes too difficult to fill, and they move on to other searches they're working on.
Exactly.
Whereas with a retained recruiter, such as myself, I have a solid relationship with the company. I know the players. I can tell their story, become the ambassador of the company to the candidate community, and earn the trust of the candidates who are in the process. I'm an extension of their hiring department, for example.
Exactly. Marnie, share with our listeners how it was that you even chose to pursue this field. How did you get an interest in doing this type of work?
Oh, you know, I was fortunate to have a friend who worked at a staffing firm in Minneapolis, and I was looking for an opportunity, and she suggested I go and talk with the president of the company. Honestly, Zara, I didn't even know what a placement was. I had mm-hmm. no idea what the industry was all about at that time. And I was fortunate they hired me and brought me on board, and that was back in the late 80s. And I found that I had a knack for being a good matchmaker, for understanding the needs of the company, what they were looking for, and also understanding the motivations and needs of candidates and bringing the two together for a successful match.
That's exactly right. That usually is the strongest attribute for people, that you can kind of spot them then get them connected. Can you think back on the kind of search work that you've been involved with, perhaps a search that really opened your eyes to how you were going to change the way you did your business then?
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a client who has a number of facilities, one here in the Twin Cities and another one in a very small agricultural town in Illinois. And they contacted me to do a COO search. And that was a very difficult search because they were looking for a high-level executive, kind of a big city executive,
mm-hmm.
to go and work in a
small town right.
atmosphere. You know, so it took a particular kind of person, and I really I found that I needed to I went to the facility in the town, met with the people there, took a tour of the city through a real estate agent so that I could be knowledgeable and tell the story and talk about the upsides of moving to that community and also working within that environment so that I could present that story to the candidate market and get to know the candidates. And I was successful in finding a wonderful candidate, and they did hire that person.
Yeah, in fact, that usually that on the surface, it's much bigger than the job description to go fill that you know you've got to competitively present. It's the whole potential lifestyle change, and that actually, as a recruiter, you're not only recruiting the candidate, but perhaps their extended family or others that they have responsibility to, with the elderly, children, pets, a horse, you know, a small business, whatever, that have to come with the package. So having that sense of going beyond what's just on the piece of paper is so important.
Oftentimes I'll meet with a spouse if I can, or talk with them in person, because it really is a lifestyle change for them. So I become their trusted advisor throughout the entire process.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The way that the search business has changed then over the years you've been involved in it, Marnie, what are some things really popped to mind here? I mean, obviously the industry took a major contraction over the last two or three years. And in terms of that then shifting, has technology played a big role, do you feel? Has, you know, factors beyond the economy, I was asking.
Yeah, I would say the advent of social media has changed. You know, a lot of companies now are utilizing social media, and recruiters too, to source candidates. And I personally feel it's a wonderful tool. I fully embrace all of the social media outlets, and I use them in my business and in my marketing efforts. But the one thing that's lacking, the one thing that technology will never make up for, is that personal connection. Mm-hmm. And we are thirsty for personal connections. Technology is great, but I think a lot of companies, search firms, internal hiring departments hide behind technology. And I always say the magic happens eyeball to eyeball, belly to belly.
That's really true. And in fact, the days of the common thank you note, you know, thank you for your time, a handwritten note, mm-hmm. and even, you know, those are slipping away from us all, such that, though, if you're a candidate or an interested hiring company that uses the written pen, whoa, what a distinction that makes. It's this idea of coming full circle of things, at least you and my generation knew as kids, were so important.
That's right. See, our mothers were right again. Write those thank you notes.
That's right. Write those thank you notes, or take the time to say thank you even, is so important.
Yes, and that is something that the common courtesy isn't so common anymore. I'm delighted when I see, when I get a handwritten thank you note from a candidate or somebody I've networked with, and I actually keep them. I have a file where I keep them because it just means something to me. And it is a way a candidate can differentiate themselves in the crowded marketplace by just one simple handwritten thank you note, because when you open your mail, when you go to your mailbox, what's the first thing that you open? Something that's been handwritten to you.
Exactly. And certainly we know, because the bills go in one pile.
Yes.
And all the marketing stuff goes in the other, to prerequisitely get
the round file
precisely, that's got a real stamp on it. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Marnie, who've been your mentors and coaches throughout the years that kind of have guided you through this progression of your career?
You know, I would have to say that my dad has been my mentor, guide, coach, inspiration. And I maybe hadn't really fully realized it until maybe about 10 years ago. That he is just, he's a practicing corporate attorney in Des Moines. And I've just watched him, the way that he works, and he really does believe in the personal service, personal connections. He's an excellent person that I can strategize with him. Hard worker, very ethical. I would just say I'm very proud to have my dad as my mentor.
That's right. Well, your career, you've gone from working within a larger firm that you learned the skills and capabilities. You then co-founded with a colleague the Hiring Experts Executive Search Firm, as we talked about. And now you're a solo practitioner. And I know not too long ago you moved from having a home office now to a suite where you're based then, you know, in a different venue. How do you like being that sole practitioner now? And, oh, by the way, that shift from a home office to, you know, the more the suite environment with others, how's that going for you?
Oh, it's great. I took a little while last year to sit back and think about what I really wanted out of my business. And after a lot of soul searching, and I thought maybe at first I wanted to have a firm with employees, et cetera, and then I realized, you know, less is more. mm-hmm. in my lifestyle right now. The solo practitioner allows me to be that strategic business partner with personal service for a few good clients. And at the end of the day, I know I've provided great service to everybody involved in the hiring process. The move from a home office, and I'd worked at home for 8 years, to an executive office suite has been great. It's giving me a presence in the community, an office where I can meet people, and it's up the ante in terms of professionalism. And I still can go out in the hallway and see a human being, which is fun.
That's right. Every now and then.
Close the door, and I've got my privacy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think many listeners know that I operate out of our business office is in our home. And so what you don't have to deal with are my business partners that seem to sleep when I'm not on the phone. But when I'm on the phone, my black lab and my golden feel they need to bark. So they so they blow my cover, as I say.
Just like kids, they always want your attention when you're on the phone.
Isn't that the truth? Well, Marnie, as you sit here now and you realize that your career so much is about helping companies change, mm-hmm. but the nature of how you bring them talent, how is it you feel you've changed over the years in enabling change?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Sarah. We're in stressful times right now, and we have to figure out how to deal with that. I have found that by developing a partnership with my clients and being flexible to meet their needs, mm-hmm. putting their needs first, providing them with a menu of services from which they can choose what service fits them at that particular time in their company has helped me become a better business partner to bring results for their company.
Was there any particular search or experience that you went through that prompted these nuggets to come forward for you that you can think of here?
Last year I decided that I would offer some of my services on an hourly basis. I had a client who had a search that they had started already, and they were midway through. They weren't sure they were finding the right candidate, but they were sort of weren't sure if they wanted to pay a search fee, given that they were already heavily invested in it, but not sure if they could continue and find the right candidate. So I told them that I would just come and work with them on an hourly basis. And they were very happy that I was flexible to work with them, not just a one-size-fits-all business model. And that helped me understand that as a partner, you'd need to be mindful of what the needs are at that particular time and be flexible to meet them.
Well, in fact, I would say for those leaders who might be listening here, this is why considering working with someone like Marnie, and again, it's Marnie@HawkenbergSearch.com. For those of you who might want to connect with Marnie over the internet or also her office line is 952-500-9542. That's probably one of the single biggest advantages of going with a smaller practice or certainly a solopreneur is the idea of saying, so do you think you could? And you wouldn't know to say no, or you wouldn't have any bureaucracy around you saying, no, that's not in our business plan or our suite of offerings, right?
Exactly. And I don't have a corporate quota to fill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you've also chosen to select focusing in manufacturing and human resources mm-hmm. here recently. That I suspect that's a balance of both the people softer size as well as the chance you get to go tour the manufacturing plants or the operations, right?
Exactly. And again, that's back to the less is more. I've been a generalist through my career. I can conduct a search in most industries. But being a generalist doesn't really mean a lot to the business community. I found that everybody wanted me to focus. What do you specialize in? So I selected manufacturing. I've always had an interest in that. I've been very successful in my searches in manufacturing. I have a very deep network in manufacturing. And then also in human resources, I enjoy working with HR leaders, have a deep network in HR. So I conduct searches at the senior leadership level for both areas.
Very wonderful. Well, again, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the show. Marnie Hockenberg at HockenbergSearch.com, based in Minnesota, but certainly her searches go way beyond that particular state. Marnie, thanks for joining us today and sharing your insights on the economy and on this whole field of search, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I've really enjoyed being on your show.
Likewise.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.